sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The preliminary draw for the 2018 World Cup football tournament will be held Saturday in St. Petersburg, Russia. Russian President Vladimir Putin and FIFA President Sepp Blatter will be center stage in St. Petersburg for the festivities, which will be watched by a worldwide television audience. Our football guru, David Legg, breaks down the draw for us in terms of the African teams.
There will be two draws as far as Africa is concerned, first round and the second round. The third round draw will take place at a later stage. Of immediate significance is the fact that Zimbabwe will be missing. Zimbabweans did not pay a severance package due to a Brazilian coach. And because of that, FIFA have expelled Zimbabwe from the draw. And for somebody like myself, who basically learned his football journalism in Zimbabwe, working for the Herald in Harare and also for the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation, I'm truly sad because I was privileged to be with the Zimbabwe team when they made their World Cup debut way back in 1981 in the Atlantic city of Douala in Cameroon. It was a match that featured, among others in the Zimbabwe team, Bruce Cobbler, who went on to become a star goalkeeper for Liverpool, and Zimbabwe lost that match, unfortunately, by 2-0. They won the return match 1-0, but were eliminated. So sad, Sonny, indeed, that Zimbabwe will not be part of this draw, and they're the only African country who will not be involved. The other 53 will be there. Now, of those 53, the lower-ranked 26, that's in the July FIFA rankings, they will go into the first-round draw. There will be 13 pairings. Matches played at home and away in October. And let's look at those two pots. Pot 1, which has the 13 higher-ranked teams, consists of the following countries: Niger, Ethiopia, Malawi, Sierra Leone, Namibia, Kenya, Botswana, Madagascar, Mauritania, Burundi, Lesotho, Guinea-Bissau, and Swaziland. And Pot 2, which will contain the 13 lower-ranked teams, in other words, the 13 weakest football nations in Africa, that pot will consist of Tanzania, Gambia, Liberia, Central African Republic, Chad, Mauritius, Seychelles, Comores, Sao Tome e Principe, South Sudan, competing for the first time, so well done to them, Eritrea, Somalia, and Djibouti. So you'll have 13 pairings, Sonny, in October, home and away, and those 13 overall winners will qualify for the second round, and that's when the big boys come into play. These matches will also be on a home and away basis, and they'll be played this November. Seeded teams, that's the top 20 ranked teams in Africa at the moment, are as follows: Ivory Coast, Algeria, Ghana, Tunisia, Senegal, Cameroon, Congo Brazzaville, Cape Verde, Egypt, Nigeria, Guinea, Democratic Republic of Congo, Mali, Equatorial Guinea, Gabon, South Africa, Zambia, Burkina Faso, Uganda, and Rwanda. So they will be kept apart from the following seven countries who are unseeded, namely Togo, Morocco, Sudan, Angola, Mozambique, Benin, and Libya. And on top of those seven countries, Sonny, you will also have those 13 first-round winners. So you'll have 20 seeded teams and 20 unseeded teams. Now, there always are those teams that the big boys want to avoid. And who are they on this occasion? Well, if you look at the unseeded teams, the one that jumps out to me are the Atlas Lions of Morocco. They have qualified for the World Cup 4 times, so not the power that they used to be. But my feeling, Sonny, is that in Abidjan, in Algiers, in Abuja, in Lagos, in Port Harcourt, or wherever, the supporters of Nigeria and Ivory Coast and Algeria and the other giants, they will not want to face Morocco. That would be a really tough tie, home and away in November. And that would mean that whoever Morocco play, the losers of that tie are out of the World Cup. They can forget about any dreams of going to Russia in 2018. Who are the other countries you might like to avoid? Well, Togo, for me, are a case in point. Togo can be extremely good and extremely bad. We saw that in the last Cup of Nations. And I'm very sorry, Sonny, that I have to mention this for a certain VOA gentleman. His first name happens to be Douglas. I have to remind Douglas that Togo beat Uganda at home and away and basically spoiled the hopes of the Uganda Cranes of getting to the Cup of Nations for the first time since 1978. Yes, Douglas, it's been that long ago. Now, the thing about the Togolese, Sonny, they have a certain moody, but when on form, a very talented striker in Emmanuel Adebayor. You know, half the time he's either retired or he's not interested in playing, but when he does play, he can be a real threat. And I would say Togo are pretty close to the top of other coaches' lists of teams to avoid. So to me, Morocco definitely first, and probably Togo, Angola possibly as well. So on Saturday evening, Sonny, in St. Petersburg, we will know exactly where we stand. And the winners of those 20 second-round ties, which are scheduled for November, they will be split into five groups of four. And those matches will be played on dates to be announced, but certainly not before next year. And the winners of those five groups, Sonny, they are the countries that will represent Africa at the 2018 World Cup in Russia.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Voice of America.
Avoid direct skin and body contact with anyone suffering from Ebola. My name is Cristiano Ronaldo. Together, we can beat Ebola.
The Ebola crisis brought everything to a grinding halt in Sierra Leone last year when it was at its peak. This included the sports industry. Public gatherings were banned, and that meant teams couldn't practice properly. Many athletes were also denied visas to compete abroad. Nina DeVries has more from Freetown, Sierra Leone.
Marathon runner Idrissa Kargbo is worried about his future career, partly because of the Ebola crisis. He holds the national record in Sierra Leone at 2 hours 32 minutes and has run in London and New York City marathons over the past 2 years. Now he has a chance to go to Cape Town, South Africa to compete in a marathon in September. But he's concerned he will be denied a visa.
I am worried a little bit because I don't know what is going to come over because of I'm in affected country.
Other athletes have been denied visas due to the Ebola situation, says Mohamed Vangahan, technical director of the Sierra Leone volleyball team. His team lost its chance to compete in the Youth Olympic Games last year in China.
We are hoping to go and represent Africa in that championship. Unfortunately, we are denied visas by the Chinese embassy and we could not take part in that competition. Of course, it was not good for our players. Imagine they are trained for over 2 months for that competition.
But the players are not letting that get them down too much. Florence Amara is the team captain.
We have the spirit, we have the ambition, we have the determination.
That attitude of determination may pay off. A Sierra Leone boxing team was recently granted a visa to compete next month in the United States. That gives athletes like Kargbo and Amara hope, especially since Ebola cases in the country have decreased generally, except for a few small areas.
Hey, come on, team. Come on, go!
Now the big challenge is getting back up to speed on their own game. Until recently, public gatherings of more than 10 people were banned to prevent the spread of Ebola. That means teams had to make do with fewer players, says Amara.
It affects me as a captain because I'll not be able to see the kind of competitiveness I like to see in training. I'll not see all the techniques will not be available on the players because some players have been left out. Sometimes the pressure is on me.
Kargbo is still concerned about catching the virus, so he runs alone for now.
I miss a social aspect because I used to train with my friends.
He also hopes more financial assistance will be offered to athletes like him who mainly rely on international support. And like Amara, he's not giving up and hopes to compete at the Olympic Games in Rio in 2016. Nina DeVries for VOA News, Freetown, Sierra Leone.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. I received a nice Facebook message from Ernest Izugwu, a student in Asaba, Nigeria. Ernest writes, "I love the Sunny Side of Sports so much." Well, Ernest, I love receiving messages like that so much. The humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, Magnus Chisholm Onwudiwe, checks in again from Owerri, Imo State, Nigeria. Magnus responds to what David Legg said on Thursday's show about Sunde Olise, Nigeria's new football coach. David said, and I quote, "He strikes me as a man with a very sharp football brain. But I wonder if he has that thick rhinoceros skin that Keshi seemed to have, and one feels at times you need just to survive in that cauldron of Nigerian football." The humble apostle in Owerri responds, "Thick rhinoceros skin indeed, because you don't only need to have a sharp brain, but you have to develop the thick rhinoceros skin to absorb all manner of verbal banters from mostly impatient Nigerian fans who want to see immediate results." And Magnus continues, "I think Olise is not a stranger to the sporty, emotional landmines in coaching Nigeria. He knows how unpredictable and impatient Nigerian fans can be, especially when the results are not fair. I wish him all the best. Thanks for checking in again, humble apostle." Thanks also to my Voice of America engineer this evening, Cornelius Tenner. Kick it, Cornelius!
Kick it!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The Voice of America.
VOA. Hello, everybody. From that very first broadcast during World War II, and ever since, the Voice of America has been the voice of freedom. So on behalf of the American people and the millions around the world who draw hope and strength from your work, thank you all for being the proud and steady Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
And when you visit VOAnews.com, make sure you check out the Sunny Side of Sports blog, in which I write about a variety of sporty topics. My latest blog post is titled Mandela and Music and Sports as Cultural Conduits for Unity. On July 18th, Nelson Mandela's birthday, I participated in a panel discussion on the late great anti-apartheid leader and how sports and music fit into his vision of unity and freedom for all. Sitting beside me was Kathy Sledge of Sister Sledge, whose 1979 hit song We Are Family gave a dance beat to family unity. After reading my blog post, the VOA's Nightline Africa sportsman, Shagun Dot on the Spot Adeyemi, checked in from Lagos, Nigeria. Shagun writes, "This is quite inspirational and indeed speaks to who Mandela really was in terms of his love for sport. He was once a boxer and music. He never shied away from showing his deft dance steps," writes Shagun. Shagun adds, "Then, of course, Sister Sledge, the group that rocked the world in the late 1970s with their hit song, We Are Family. Last week," says Shagun, "that same song triggered a huge dance fest at my wife's school's graduation right here in Lagos. Dance on, Shagun!"
is fun, and we've just begun to get our share of this world's delight. High hopes we have for the future and our goals in sight. We know we don't get depressed. Here's what we call our golden rule. Have faith in you and the things you do. You won't go wrong. Oh no, this is our family jewel. We are family. Yeah, sing it to me.
I got all my sisters with me.
Sing it to me.
We are family.
Oh, I can hear you guys.
Yes, everybody sing.
Ooh, we have faith in you and the things you do. Hey, hey.
I got all my sisters with me.
Oh,
Sister Sledge with their smash 1979 hit, We Are Family. If you're keeping score, sports fans, Kathy Sledge recorded the lead vocals for that tune in one take. She also smiled at the Mandela Day conference when I mentioned how the 1979 World Series baseball champion Pittsburgh Pirates made We Are Family their official theme song on their way to winning the trophy. American Zach Johnson won the British Open Golf Trophy Monday after beating Australian Mark Leishman and South African Louis Oosthuizen in a dramatic three-man playoff in St. Andrews, Scotland. Nick Dye reports from St. Andrews.
Johnson's a humble man, accepting he's an under-the-radar player, but he loves links golf, and he's twice before finished top 10 in the Open. The 2007 Augusta champion has enjoyed one of the lowest rounds of the final day, a 66, to soar to the top of the leaderboard. He noted Leishman miss a birdie putt at the last, which could have given the Australian a victory. He saw Oosthuizen, the 2010 champion, birdie 18 to make it a three-man playoff. Johnson then birdied the opening two holes of the four-hole decider and never looked back. Jordan Spieth, chasing a hat-trick of Grand Slam titles, came up just short in fourth. The Irish amateur Paul Dunne faltered on the final day, leaving another American, Jordan Niebrugger, with a silver medal. But the gold medal goes to the champion golfer of the year, Zach Johnson.
When my game's good, you know, certainly I surface on the radar. I don't know if it's ever really beeping on me. But, you know, I said it back in 2007. I mean, I feel like God gave me the ability to play a game. I try to take it very seriously. I realize it's just a game. I'm just a guy from Iowa that has been blessed with a talent, and, you know, this game provides great opportunity. And, you know, the more opportunities, and I think if you mentally look at it that way, it kind of takes the pressure off. You know, I don't want to make it any bigger than what it should be. This isn't going to define me or my career. At least I hope it doesn't. I mean, it's not my legacy. Now, granted, as a professional athlete and as a golfer, I'm going to relish this. I'm going to savor this. I'm humbled by this, but my legacy should be my kids, my family, that kind of thing.
An emotional Zach Johnson, the 2015 British Open golf champion.
Hi, I'm Segun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the
Game on, VOA sports fans. Swiss tennis star Roger Federer says his first visit to Malawi this week was an unforgettable journey and learning experience. The world's number two ranked player traveled to Southern Africa after losing to Novak Djokovic in the Wimbledon final July 12th. In Malawi, Federer visited the Mbwetu Community-Based Child Care Center, a preschool. He says his foundation has helped support the preschool for more than 4 years, as well as others in the Southern Africa region.
I am so happy and emotional that I can see a preschool of this quality here in Malawi. I must say it's quite extraordinary, actually, and it makes me really, really happy. And that's not possible with the help of the community, the parents, ActionAid Malawi, everybody involved. It's been amazing, and it's been an absolute pleasure to be here today.
Roger Federer established his foundation in 2003 to help poor children in Africa and provide them with an education. 5 years ago, Roger played Spanish star Rafael Nadal in a charity exhibition called Match for Africa. And that Match for Africa raised more than $4 million for his foundation and Rafa's foundation. In Malawi, Roger played with the children and helped cook and serve them lunch. He says he liked what he saw at the preschool.
Really impressed at the community here because it's the driver and they are so committed to improving their own village, helping their kids for a better future and making it sustainable at the end of the day. That's most important, that this is an ongoing thing and hopefully forever.
Roger Federer has ambitious goals for his foundation and he reflects on his trip to Malawi.
I learned a lot and I thought it was an unforgettable journey of learning for me personally as well. I feel like the kids are having a great time. It's so inspiring and motivating every time I come to a beautiful country like Malawi this time. It's my first time here. And of course, I'll keep going. We have high goals for the Roger Federer Foundation to reach 1 million children that can benefit from the foundation because children are tomorrow's future.
Roger Federer and his wife, Mirka, herself a former professional tennis player, have 4 children of their own. Mirka gave birth to twin girls in 2009, and last year she gave birth to twin boys.
'Cause this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm very, 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 very excited. Ngijabulile.
Hola. 'Cause this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh. Time for Africa.
The Special Olympics World Games officially open Saturday in Los Angeles, California. About 7,000 athletes from 177 countries will compete at the Special Olympics World Games. It's being described as the largest gathering of nations in the history of Los Angeles since the 1984 Summer Olympics. The games will begin on Saturday with an opening ceremony at Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The Special Olympics athletes will compete in a total of 26 sports. These include cycling, soccer or football, gymnastics, judo, and powerlifting. And here's a sunny side of sports salute to all of the athletes who will be competing in Los Angeles over the next week. We wish them the best. Maybe bring home some medals. I want to give a quick shout out for my friend Brightfield Shaddy from Botswana. He's going to be waving Botswana's flag high at the Special Olympics World Games. Good luck to all the Special Olympics athletes. I'm VOA's Sonny Young. I want to give more thanks to VOA's engineer this evening, Cornelius Tenner. Thank you, Cornelius. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the sunny side of sports.